Well, it's quite exciting because we've seen a radical change in the way that young people spend their leisure time. This generation has access to a virtual world that a previous generation did not have. We also have seen kind of dramatic social change in that young people are much less likely in countries like Australia and the UK and North America to be out every evening with their friends, hanging out with their friends. They're much more likely to be in their rooms, in their bedrooms. And the reasons for that are multiple. One, parental concern about danger, you know, safety for young people. Concern that actually young people on the streets are seen negatively and therefore is less safe for them. The community doesn't like it so much. And the availability of video games and other forms of social media that they can engage with so they don't actually have to go out or leave their room to actually meet up with their friends.
I think it's quite telling. The best example I can think of is Christmas Day. A few decades ago, yeah, the kids would have been out on the streets playing with their new bikes or whatever new toys they've got. But now you're inside playing with your new computer games.
Yes, yes. And this is huge. And policy and professionals and the consideration of health issues around this have been slow to catch up with it. For example, you know, every policy government in the world kind of has a smoking, person who deals with smoking cessation, alcohol consumption. But who's looking at video gaming? Who's looking at young people's use of social media? And where's the kind of policy response around that? And it is huge. You're absolutely right. It's absolutely huge because you just think you compare. I looked at the results against the use of video games compared to reading the Harry Potter books, which were, everybody knows the Harry Potter books, right? So number three sold, which was, can you remember what number three was?
Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban.
Yes, okay, well done. Okay, so number three in the franchise sold 100,000 copies on the day it was released in the UK. And probably similar, you know, levels of sales in Australia. Right, Call of Duty sold 1.4 million copies.
On its first day?
Yes, on its day of launch. And within a week of it going online, there'd been enough kill shots to kill every man, woman and child on the planet. So you can see just how, you know, the comparison just doesn't stand up to kind of where we think young people are.
Video games have a very negative portrayal in the media. What are some of the, speaking scientifically, some of the negatives associated with video games?
Yes, some of the negatives are around that it displaces other positive activities, such as physical activity or educational attention to your education, your homework. You'd much rather be playing computer games rather than doing your homework, and I can kind of see that. Also, that it may actually create aggression, although that is highly contested. The violence angle, and whether or not it causes more violent behaviour, is a very contested and poorly proven area. But the main areas are that it really displaces other positive activities and may make you more isolated.
But there are positives associated with video games. Yeah. What in the scientific literature, what are they?
Yeah, absolutely. And they're often downplayed. Often when we talk about this, we only think about the negatives. But actually the positives are that in reality, it may actually increase your ability to be pro-social and cooperate with others, work in teams. It has a lot of, offers a lot of the skill set that actually modern employers want. They want you to be able to work in teams. They want you to cooperate. They want you to have communication skills. And actually the sort of online gaming that is emerging and those kinds of experiences actually may increase that. It may also make you more motivated to achieve because you're learning how to achieve in sort of small bites and getting rewards for that. So there is some evidence that game theory actually can improve your motivation.
Speaking about the working together and the collaboration, yeah, I guess something a lot of people might not know is that you can play a video game and be talking to people on the other side of the globe.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember watching some of the young people we had in the study and also my own son, and he would be talking to people in Russia and America and be engaging with them in the game and getting them to cooperate as part of a team. That's quite a useful skill, actually.
Yeah. So tell me a bit about the study that you have just done. It was for 11 to 15-year-olds?
Yes, so we asked them about how much game playing they actually did, who they did it with, as well as the other sorts of activities they did. So how much physical activity did they did, but also aspects of their social emotional well-being. So were they bullied? Did they have, what was their life satisfaction like overall? All those kinds of hosts of kind of well-being issues we looked at.
tell me a bit about how much time kids are actually spending playing video games. Does it vary among the age groups?
Yes, the younger ones, the 11 to 13 years, tend to spend more. And that seems to be part of a kind of natural maturation process. You get engaged in these games, and as you get older, you move on to other things. There are some issues about the 15-year-olds who did carry on playing higher levels of games, game playing, actually had worse outcomes than those who only kind of stuck to around 2 hours a night. Some young people were playing up to 7 hours a night, which is excessive. Most of the policy recommendations there have been and studies that I've looked at have said around two hours a night of screen time, including video gaming, is okay. It's not actually going to cause any harm and may have some of the benefits that we just outlined.
And so the majority of 11 to 15-year-olds are sticking to that two-hour time limit.
Yeah, but there is a significant minority that are exceeding that, around 7 to 10%, and some of them were playing, I don't know how they fitted it in, but 7 hours, up to 7 hours a night, which means that would be affecting their sleep patterns, their ability to perform at school the next day. This is on a weekday.
And how does physical activity play? Are these kids still doing physical activity?
Yeah, well, it's quite interesting. It didn't seem to affect boys' physical activity levels at all, and they are much more likely to meet the recommendations anyway. Girls were less likely to be physically active, but girls were also less likely to be physically active anyway. So there is that gendered issue around promoting physical activity, irrespective of game playing, probably.
It's also interesting that this study found that the girls who played video games actually had quite a few friends that were boys that played video games.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, I think it's probably, I mean, some of the other findings we had were that you're more likely to be bullied and more likely to have low life satisfaction if you were older and played lots of video gaming. And maybe it's because video gaming becomes, it's not a cause of that, but actually it becomes a protective factor that it gives you a different kind of space.
Do girls in this age group tend to have, like just generally speaking, tend to have male friends?
As they get older, they tend to. The younger ones are less likely to. So it's quite interesting. But the girl video gamers did tend to have more boyfriends, you know, boys who were friends, rather than partners. Yeah. And that's really quite interesting because it suggests it might also be having this kind of also pro-social effect that you can navigate different genders more effectively.
You mentioned life satisfaction. What does that mean?
Life satisfaction is your overall how good you feel your life is. So it's a really important measure. It's a subjective assessment. It's how you feel your life is on a scale of 1 to 10. So 7 to 10 is generally felt to be good. 8 to 10 is very good. And then those with low life satisfaction, i.e. 0 to 4, tend to have poorer outcomes. And if you have low life satisfaction when you're a young person, you tend to also have poorer adult outcomes. So it's a really important measure of all sorts of life chances, really.
And how did life satisfaction play into the video game study?
Yeah. Girls who engaged in higher levels of video gaming tended to have lower life satisfaction, and boys who engage in lots of gaming tended more likely to report they were being bullied. So it suggests that it may be being used as an alternative escape route from some of these pressures that they're feeling around the rest of their lives.
But if you're playing video games at a reasonable rate, is your life satisfaction levels high?
It's not affected at all. So two hours a night is absolutely kind of the cut-off point.
What about parents? What role do parents play in video games?
Well, it's quite interesting. Although a lot of parents set boundaries around TV watching and other aspects of life, many parents weren't aware and aren't setting boundaries around video gaming, and they're not aware of what's going on in the bedroom. Where parents were very strict, though, it tended to and really say no video gaming and have a very authoritarian approach. From the young person's perspective, it tended to be associated with higher levels of gaming. So young people are very good at strategies of resistance to adult authority. So it suggests it might cause resentment if you're not being treated as an emerging adult who can make decisions around your life. The best kind of parenting was parenting where it was negotiated about how much time you spent on gaming, and it was you parents talked through the content of the games. Or parents played with the young person. So it was co-play, seemed to be very positive, particularly for girls. But that might also be the type of games that girls tend to play, i.e. dance games, that kind of thing, where family members could join in more easily.
I'm guessing that in Call of Duty, you don't really want mum and dad sitting down to play a video game with you.
Yeah, well, I've tried and I couldn't get out the door, so...